The gospel is from St. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of the Lord. Today, to help set the sermon, I'd like to ask Deaconess Kim for a little assistance. Kim, what happened to my Jeep while your mother and I were out tonight?
Nothing, Dad. Not that I know of, anyway.
Well, one of the taillights has been broken, and the rear bumper scratched. And there's a broken taillight on the driveway next to the retaining wall. How did it happen?
I don't know. I haven't been driving lately.
Oh, how can you say that? Your mom and I were gone all evening, and, well, you're the only one who could have been driving it. I told you you were not to drive my vehicle without my express permission. Now stop playing that stupid video game and listen to me for a minute. Look at me.
I didn't drive your lousy car, all right? Look, you always blame me and you don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh yeah? Well, explain this to me, Miss Smarty Pants. Before I got home from work earlier this evening, I stopped at the gas station to fill up the tank. And I just happened to reset the odometer to zero. And I washed the Jeep, and there was no damage to the taillight at that time. Or the bumper. So I parked the Jeep in the driveway at 6 p.m. tonight. Now, we only live 1 mile from the gas station. And there are 47.8 miles on the odometer. I didn't move the Jeep. Your mother didn't move the Jeep. And the key was hanging next to the door, and you're the only other person home. Now, on top of that, my mirror was changed, and I noticed the seat was pushed back and notched. So quit your lying right now and explain to me how this damage happened to my vehicle.
I just ran to the store to run some errands. That's it.
Well, I am sick and tired of constant lying. I told you not to take my Jeep without my permission, and the store isn't 47 miles away. You're lying again. How many times do I have to tell you to quit lying, young lady? You always do that. You take someone's car without permission, you damage it, and then you lie and you act like nothing happened.
Look, I didn't hit anything. I'm always careful. You always accuse me without even giving me a chance to explain. Living with you is worse than boot camp. You and Mom always treat me like a baby. I'm 17. I'm not a little kid, you know. All my friends have their own cars, and they can come and go whenever they want. But not me. I live in this prison. Where are you going? What time are you coming home? Be back by 10. What is it with you guys anyway?
You watch your tone, young lady. You are in serious trouble. You still aren't telling me where or what you were doing. And you're going to pay for the damage to that Jeep, every penny of it. And you're grounded now for 3 months. No more dates, no more parties. You can go to school, you can go to work, and you can go to church, but that's it. You're grounded.
Yeah, right. Whatever. I might as well be in prison. You always overreact. I'm going to my room.
Fine. But no computer games, no internet, and no video games, no telephone. You are grounded.
Whatever.
She makes me so mad. I don't know what to do with her. Sometimes I just kind of go off the handle. You know, God really commands her to listen to me and respect me and obey her parents. And I want to teach her how to be a good person and do what's right. There must be a better way than this, a better way for a dad to handle these kind of situations. And folks, there really is. There is a better way to handle problems like this and other relationships we have. As Christians, we really have a valuable resource that God has given us and has the power to heal divisions and conflict. It's not a self-help book that you read, you know, 1 month and then you forget about. It's not some kind of special video you watch. It's not psychology or anything like that. It's not a new fad. But in fact, it's something very, very old, very ancient. And it was given to us by our Lord Himself. It's called Confession and Forgiveness. You see, we're familiar with confession, aren't we? Most of our services start with some kind of confession to God. We confess our sins to Him. We hear His forgiveness. Those words, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. How many times have we heard that and said that in church? In the situation you just saw, there was some denial going on. People denying any responsibility for the conflict. The daughter denies that she drove the Jeep, that she damaged the Jeep, and that she lied about it. And the dad, in a sense, well, he denies that he's more concerned with his vehicle and with respect for his authority than he is love for his daughter, care for her. We're all used to confessing our sins to God at church. As the passage says, if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And isn't that why we came here tonight? We gathered on Ash Wednesday to come together, to start Lent right, to get right with God, confess our sins, and hear His forgiveness once again. That's always good. But what about each other? Somehow, we have forgotten how to confess our sins to each other and to forgive one another. It's like nobody takes time to do that anymore. They just go off their own way. And this is really tragic because it breaks us apart as God's people. It shatters the relationships that God has brought us to live into. In our marriages, in our families, with parents and children, with our friends and neighbors, with people at church, and even at work. I know for a fact that there are people that come to this church that will not speak to other people at this church. I've seen it. It's happening. I hope it's not happening to you. It's real sad because though they worship at the same altar and pray to the same God and sing the same hymns, they have no words for each other, because they are in conflict and they don't know how to get out. And friends, it shouldn't be this way. When we confess our sins to each other and forgive one another, these barriers are removed and they're taken down. Just as by His own suffering and death, Jesus removed the barrier between us and the Holy God, that He unites us with our Heavenly Father once again. When we practice in our personal relationships what the Bible preaches, we are opened up to that peace that we hear about so often. You know, that peace that passes all understanding. You know? But how many of us really experience that in our lives with all the conflict that's around us? We can have it. God is offering it to us. Today, I've given you a pamphlet in your worship folder tonight. And it's called Announcing God's Grace Through Confession and Forgiveness. It's yours to keep and use at home and practice in your home. Right now, I'd like you to open that up and turn to the center and follow along as this father and daughter use confession and forgiveness to overcome the barrier of their own conflict. Kim, may I come in?
Whatever.
Listen, Kim, I'm really sorry that I lost my temper and I yelled at you. I am upset about your disobeying our rules, about taking the car without our knowledge. But mostly I'm hurt because you lied to me and you tried to cover up what you did. Kim, we really need to talk about what really happened, but first I want to say this. I want to apologize for yelling at you and speaking to you the way I did, calling you names, losing my cool. God has given me responsibility to raise you as a child of God, disciplining you when necessary. But He also calls me to discipline you in a loving way. And tonight I didn't handle this very well at all. I sinned against God, and I sinned against you. Will you forgive me?
Sure, Dad. I forgive you. I mean, you had a right to get mad at me. I took the Jeep and ran around tonight when I knew what the rules were. Well, it's just Joni called me, and she broke up with her boyfriend tonight. She was really upset, and she just needed a friend, and so we drove around for a while so she could talk. And I really didn't know about the taillight. I must have bumped into the wall when I was backing up or something. I didn't realize it.
Well, Kim, in order for us to have a trusting relationship, in order for your mom to treat you like a young adult instead of like a little kid, you need to be honest about your failings. You need to know that we love you and we want what's best. But most of all, you know that God loves you and forgives you all your sins for Jesus' sake.
Yeah.
As your father, I have a responsibility to share God's love and forgiveness with you. You know, last week I got a copy from church of a little pamphlet called Family Confession and Forgiveness. And in this pamphlet, you have a chance to confess your sins to me, but also to God. And then I have a chance to announce God's forgiveness to you, and I can also forgive you. Kim, would you like to try it as a different way of dealing with this problem that we have?
I guess.
Okay, well, here it is. And if you open it up and see in the middle, when we get to this part right here where it says what troubles me particularly is that, well, there you can confess the specific sins about this incident tonight and whatever you think is appropriate. I'll let you have some time if you want to think about what you want to say.
Actually, Dad, I've been thinking about it already and I think I know what I need to do, so I'm ready now.
Okay, well, let's try it. Please start right here.
Dad, please hear my confession and pronounce God's forgiveness in order to fulfill His will.
Please continue.
I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before God of all sins. In particular, I confess before you that I have lived as if God did not matter and as if I mattered most. I have not honored my Lord's name as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered, and I have not let His love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. What troubles me particularly is that I took the Jeep without permission and that I tried to cover it up by lying. I have not only sinned against God, but I have also sinned against you, and I seek your personal forgiveness. I'm sorry for all of this, and I ask for grace, and I want to be better.
Kim, God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith.
Amen.
Now let's turn to the last page where it says, fellow Christian announcing forgiveness. Kim, do you believe that God's promise of forgiveness given in Holy Scripture are written for all God's children, including you?
I do.
Then listen to what God's Word says and let it be done for you as you believe. In 1 John 1:9, God promises, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In Jeremiah 31:34, the Lord declares, I will forgive your wickedness and will remember your sins no more. In 1 Peter 2:24, God assures us, Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed. Therefore, Kim, believe this good news. For Jesus' sake, God forgives you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As God through Christ has forgiven both you and me, I also forgive you your sins against me.
Amen.
May the God of peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Kim, I love you.
I love you too, Dad.
You see what happened? It was different, wasn't it? The dad, who was mad, comes, and instead of trying to force a confession out of his daughter, he confesses his sins. He realizes that he's got his part in this conflict, that he sinned against his own daughter by yelling at her and by calling her names and getting upset with her rather than confronting her and talking with her as his beloved daughter. You know, so often we see conflict as a terrible thing that we go out of our way to avoid, don't we? A couple of responses are typical, on one side or the other. On one side, we don't like conflict. It makes us feel upset and anxious. We get that knot in our stomach. You know, our throat gets tight. What are we going to say? So we run away. We just avoid the person. We say, they don't deserve me to talk to them anymore. And we isolate ourselves from them and shut them off, and that's it. But you see what that's done. We've lost another person in our life that God put there, a fellow Christian, another person that we are to love and care for. And we've let this conflict destroy that relationship and take them out of our lives. That's not the way God intends. But then there's that other response that we can have too. When we get so upset and the adrenaline rush starts, we might attack them rather than avoid them. We might be angry with them. We might raise our voice to them. We might even physically hurt them in some way. With responses like these, we end up losing our relationships, leaving people behind, or causing them to leave us behind. I'm sure you've discovered that conflict that's not resolved in a God-pleasing way is very costly. It takes a lot of time, energy, money, and opportunities in ministry or even in business. It robs us of these things. And worst of all, it can destroy our Christian witness. I mean, when believers are having it out or coldly estranged from each other and won't speak with each other anymore, who, I ask you, is going to pay attention to them when they talk about the Christian life and how wonderful it is to be one with God? Nobody's going to listen to that. It's phony because we're not practicing it with one another. You see, conflict is not always bad. We can learn ways that make peace. And these peacemaking responses are, first of all, commanded by God. It's not an option. But he tells us to be at peace with one another. But secondly, these responses are empowered by the gospel. God puts his energy in the gospel and gives it to us. As we are forgiven our sins, we are able to forgive one another. And these responses are directed towards finding mutual and just, agreeable solutions to the conflict, something that everybody can agree to. I can't tell you everything about this tonight because, well, it's getting late. But I'm going to be here in the weeks ahead on Wednesday nights, 3:30, 7:15. And we'll be talking about this together as we are tonight. We'll see how God empowers us to live at peace with others in our families, in our church, and in our workplaces. And I'll also be teaching a class Sunday mornings at 9:30 in the fellowship hall on personal peacemaking over the next couple of months. I hope you join me because in the recent past, God has opened the Bible to me in a way that I hadn't seen it before. And I'm thankful to him for that. And I think it can help you to overcome some of the conflicts that that we face in life that are all too prevalent today. It's not magic. Again, it's not psychology or something like that. It's simply the Word of God. And we can always grow and appreciate what God has said and see how it helps us so much in our day-to-day life. But I promise you this, at the center of it all is Jesus. You see, when we were in conflict with God the Father, He didn't take those opposite responses. He didn't abandon us because He didn't want to deal with us anymore, as rebellious as we were. And He didn't attack us and destroy us either. But what did He do? He came to meet us in Christ. And as the Scripture says, He reconciled the world to Himself through Christ, through His death and resurrection, which we remember in this Lenten season. Now you and I have that same opportunity to do that for those whom we may be in conflict with in life. We can confess our sins to them, and we can forgive their sins against us. When Christians learn to be peacemakers, they can turn their conflict into an opportunity to strengthen relationships, preserve their valuable resources, and make their lives a testimony to the love and the power of Christ. So, for now, let's take this opportunity right now, and with this pamphlet that we've been reading from, let's confess our sins to God on this Ash Wednesday and receive His forgiveness using the words of confession in the brochure, announcing God's grace through confession and forgiveness. And I ask you to open this up to the center and read the bold print there. We begin. Dear Pastor, hear my confession and pronounce God's forgiveness in order to fulfill His will. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before God of all sins. In particular, I confess before you that I have lived as if God did not matter and as if I mattered most. I have not honored my Lord's name as I should. My worship and prayers have fallen short. I have not let His love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. And we conclude by saying, I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. At this time, I give you a moment just to reflect upon your life and confess your sins silently to God in prayer. Now continuing on the next page, do you believe that my forgiveness is God's forgiveness?
Yes, Pastor.
Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may go in peace.
Amen.